We are continuing in our series, The Christian and the Poor. And this was one of those preaching series that I began not exactly sure where we would end up, but I had a lot of questions in this matter, as I shared with you that first time we got together, and just taking you along on my own journey of seeking to understand how God would want me, personally, to interact, to understand the poor in our world. We know, we've seen, and throughout the last 2 weeks, that the Word of God has a lot to say about the poor. We've come up with a basic definition of the poor, and that is the poor lack a regular supply of food and drink, a basic supply of clothing, extra money for tomorrow, and the proper care necessary for their situation. They will often be the orphans, widows, blind, lame, oppressed, foreigners, sick, or imprisoned. We looked last time at the reality of the self-made poor man. That was a term I coined. But we sought to understand from the Bible if indeed this was possible, and what was it that brought about such poverty, if it indeed was true. And I think we saw from the Word of God last time we were together that indeed people can drive themselves into poverty by their foolish and sinful lifestyle decisions that they make. That was a question I had, because sometimes we have those folks that we are around and needing to interact with, and sometimes you get frustrated with those kinds of folks, seeing their way of living and the choices that they make, knowing that the Word of God says they will be poor as a result of those choices. We talked about how the Word of God speaks about the foolish ways. And we talked about poverty comes to one who's lazy and or deceitful, comes to those who hoard, comes to those who love pleasure, comes to those who are drunken or practice gluttony. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking if there are any examples of that in the Scriptures, of someone that was poor as a result of their decision making. Does anyone come to mind as you think about that? The prodigal son, that was one, yeah. You remember the story of the prodigal son? But he had everything, right? He had everything he needed. He had his whole inheritance. And he went off and he just wasted his life, wasted it on riotous living, King James says. Wasted it. And it's interesting, we're not going to look at it tonight, but if you read through that account, looking at the prodigal son, it is a depiction of himself. He's driving himself into poverty. And then it's interesting to see how it comes out in the end. It's really interesting. Any other examples? Self-made man, a poor man, self-made poor man in the Bible. Yeah. The woman at the well. Yes. I had not thought of her, but yes. Interesting thought. Her choices in living. We don't know exactly how much control she had over all of that, being a woman, but right, and she was living with someone, not her husband. It does. Interesting, yeah. Yes. I thought of the one thief on the cross, the one that was not repentant, the loud and the arrogant one. He was there on the cross based upon his own deeds. He had nothing. He had nothing. And he continued his proud and arrogant ways, in a contrast to the repentant thief, who displayed a humble spirit, poor in spirit, as Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes says. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. It's a great example of the importance of the heart in these matters, in the as we think and contemplate the poor. Yeah. Both of those men had nothing but very different outcomes. Yes. Good. So we remember, I want to remind us also of how we started our series and looking at what Jesus had to say in Matthew 25. The kind of heart that he was looking for in his people, and this is at the scene of judgment. He says, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Now it's not just happenstance that Jesus gives this list. I mean, he is looking for people who give themselves away for him. People who are generous, understanding that generosity is God's economy. In God's economy is an aggressive growth strategy. We talked about that last time. Of course, hoarding is the opposite. It's a sure path to poverty in God's economy. So, tonight I'd like to just continue on by asking this question: why is it that we ought to look out for the poor? That may seem like an obvious question, especially in light of what we've talked about. But I'd like you to see some specific things that the Word of God has to say in this regard, just to plant this deeper into our hearts. So we're going to look at several scriptures tonight. But first of all, let's go to Psalm chapter 69, and we're going to see here that the Lord hears the poor. The Lord hears the poor. And in Psalm chapter 69, just to give us a little bit of context, verse 32 says, "The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord hears the poor and despises not his prisoners." Now, why is this something noteworthy? Why is this something we should pay attention to? Well, "the Lord hears the poor" speaks of the fact that the poor are people who are crying out. They are people who are crying out for help. In fact, with this in this same vein, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 13 says that he who stops his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. You need to see the Word of God speaks almost of a judgment here upon those who stop their ears to the cries of the poor. The Lord hears the poor. There is a judgment for those who refuse to hear the cries of the poor. Thirdly, the poor are easily exploited. They're easily taken advantage of. This is seen, and we'll turn to Psalm chapter 10. And a very graphic picture here in Psalm chapter 10. Why is it that we are to reach out and care for the poor? Well, they are taken advantage of. In our day and age in the media, we really see a more attention being given to the exploitation of young ladies, especially. It's called sex trafficking. These young ladies get sent all over the world thinking they are getting something, and they're just used for sex. And, you know, this falls into that example. These young girls are being exploited for them just being a female and not having anything but a desire to have something to call their own? Look at what Psalm chapter 10 says. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why hide thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boast of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privately set against the poor. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draws him into his net. He crouches and humbles himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. Wow. What a graphic description of what the wicked do to the poor. The poor are taken advantage of. They're exploited. Why should we pay attention to them? Why should we care for the poor? Because they are easily exploited. Along that same thought, in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 20 and 21, we read, "The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despises his neighbor sins, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." Happy is he. I don't know about you, but even as I go through this, I am feeling a tension in my own heart. I feel very real tension of I enjoy the things that I have, and it's sometimes difficult to give, isn't it? Anybody else feel that tension? I feel that. But I know what God's Word says, and that's why I have to keep fresh and keep exposing myself to the Word of God. That my heart, that is sometimes hard, might be softened by its truth. Because what does Jesus say? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Boy, that seems so backwards in our day, doesn't it? I mean, that certainly is not preached by our media or world or culture. But it's certainly of God. The Lord hears the poor. There's a judgment for those who refuse to hear the cry of the poor. The poor are easily exploited and despised. Why ought we to look out for the poor? Well, another one is there's a blessing found for those who care for the poor. There's blessing. As I just said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. There's a blessing stated by Jesus. And how is it that we miss that sometimes? Well, I trust that maybe some of these scriptures will help remind us of the blessing that is found in caring for the poor. Psalm 112 and verse 9. Psalm 112 verse 9 says, "He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor." In this context here, we see blessed in verse 1 of this chapter, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, and then a following description that speaks in verse 9 of him giving to the poor. there is blessing. Some other verses, you can listen to these and write them down if you'd like, but Proverbs 19:17 says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lends unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." Isn't it interesting how the Lord associates himself with the poor? With that in mind, I want to remind you of what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, where it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." Proverbs 22:9 says that he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Proverbs 28:27, "He that gives unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse." Well, I need to hear that one. That's encouragement. Sometimes you feel like you're going to give it all away, right? And you've got, what am I going to survive on? Maybe that's a selfish thinking, but I'm just being real with you. "But he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack." What a blessed truth that is, knowing that God, he cares for the poor, but he cares for those who are giving to the poor too. Proverbs 29, verse 7, "The righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked regard not to know it." The righteous consider the cause of the poor, but the wicked regard not to know it. What a contrast that is. And I trust that these are challenging your thoughts in your mind and your own heart as you consider the poor. I take us to Luke chapter 14, where we hear Jesus speak on this matter. In Luke chapter 14, the context here, as we'll see in verse 1, is that it came to pass, he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. Now, he's with one of the chief Pharisees. Now, is he poor? No, he's not poor. "And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you," verse 5, "shall have a donkey or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him again on these things. So, verse 7, "He put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to you, Give this man place, and you begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when you are bidden to go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee comes, he may say unto you, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now verse 12, look at this. "Then said he also to him that bade him." Now who was that? That was the chief Pharisee. "When you make a dinner or a supper, call not your friends or your brethren, neither your kinsmen nor your rich neighbors, lest they also bid you again and recompense be made to you. But when you make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be what? Blessed. For they cannot recompense thee or repay you, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now he's talking to this chief Pharisee who bade him to come and eat. Certainly not a poor man. These people had difficulty figuring out where they were going to sit at these gatherings, who was going to take the higher, more privileged positions. And Jesus here calls them out even on who they invite to their dinners. Now, what's the heart of the man? Is this forbidding us to get together with friends and people that have money? No, it's not. But what is the heart in here? What's the heart that Jesus is speaking out against? That is this heart of give me. This heart of I'll give to you if you give something to me. And there's really not a generosity there, is there? No, there's not. And his suggestion, his instruction is, stop this practice. And if you truly are righteous, make the feast, but invite the poor. People who really need it and really can benefit. They won't be able to give you anything back. But you know what? I will. I'll bless you. You might not see it on this earth, but you'll see it in the resurrection. There's blessing. There's blessing here for those who care for the poor. So we see here what Jesus said. What did Jesus do? To whom did Jesus minister? Oh, we just read about him sitting with one of the chief Pharisees. Was that his chief place of ministry? Was that where he was focused? No, it was interesting. John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus who he was. Matthew chapter 11. Listen to what Jesus' response is. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. So John the Baptist is in prison. He sends two of his disciples, verse 2. They come and they ask Jesus, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Verse 4, Jesus answered, Matthew 11:4. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Again, Jesus speaking, giving this list of his works, of these miracles, of his ministry, and one of the qualities or of his practices is preaching the gospel, the good news to the poor. Now, we know that he ministered the gospel to others, but in this, I believe it's not just maybe the physically poor, but even the poor in heart. And we'll get to that emphasis. We've already touched on it. But notice what Jesus did in his ministry. He ministered to the poor. So why ought we to look out for the poor? The Lord hears the poor. They are easily exploited. There is a judgment for those who refuse to hear the cry of the poor. The poor are despised. There is a blessing for those who care for the poor. Jesus ministered to the poor. And finally, there will always be the poor among us. This was spoken by the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 26 as a woman comes into the room. And she comes and she has this very expensive alabaster box full of ointment. She breaks it and she pours it over his head. And of course, we know that the disciples, they see this. This is upsetting to them. They say it's a waste. that should have been sold for much, Matthew 26, verse 9, sold for much and given to the poor. Well, verse 10, Jesus understands this, and he says unto them, "Why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me." Notice the priority here. The emphasis is on Jesus. "For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always." "For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath, what this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Jesus makes a statement here, recognizing that the poor are among us. And he makes the statement that they will always be with you. This is a very interesting reference, because even in the book of Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15, and that's where we're going to close tonight, says a very similar thing, but it's interesting the context in which you see it. We're going to close in Deuteronomy chapter 15 tonight. We're going to close here because this is Moses. He's giving a review or summary of the law to the next generation that is about ready to go into the promised land. And in Deuteronomy chapter 15, he goes over some of the laws concerning every 7 years, a year of sabbatical year. But I want you to notice what he says here in verse 7. So Deuteronomy 15:7 says, "If there be among you a poor man of one of your brethren within any of your gates in the land which the Lord your God gives you, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, it's close, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry unto the Lord against you, and it be a sin unto thee. Verse 10, thou shalt surely give him, and thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command you, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto your brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land." What an interesting, fascinating passage. Now, a couple observations here. As you read down through this, notice the emphasis in verse 7. He says, if there be poor among you, among your brethren, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Okay. Here. The Lord is giving them a land. Okay, so in essence here, the point is, Moses is making through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, you are poor without the Lord. The Lord is giving you a land. He's giving it to you. Thou shalt not harden your heart nor shut thine hand from your poor brother. How about that image of open your hand wide? Open it wide. I mean, what does that really mean? What does that really depict for us in verse 8. Thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need. Help meet his need. And do it sufficiently so that the need is met. Now, this is in the context of the sabbatical year. Now, I know we're not Israelites and Jews, and we're not under all of these regulations, but the principle here is true. The sabbatical year, anything that was lent out, you had to release it. You could not, no longer could you claim it. And so that kind of explains here why he's saying in your wicked heart, oh, the sabbatical year is just around the corner and you don't lend anybody anything because you won't ever see it again because the sabbatical year is just 1 year around, 1 year away, and then I have to just release it. Do you understand here the heart that is behind this instruction? The heart of generosity, not looking for anything back or in return. Now, of course, we could look at the other side and the principle of from the standpoint of the poor man who has lent a plow to plow his fields. When he gets enough resources to get his own plow, he is to return the plow back to this rightful owner. Absolutely. But if the sabbatical year comes around and he doesn't have that, the plow becomes his. Wow, interesting. Boy, you could think of, if you're thinking like I am, I'm thinking of a lot of people who could take advantage of that kind of system, huh? It's a good thing the Lord's in control. Even the mention in verse 9, beware that there be not a thought in your wicked heart, pricks us, doesn't it? Because even God knows how easy it is for us to hang on to things, to give expecting in return, and he's calling it out. Beware of that wicked heart. Beware. Verse 10, give, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give. Because for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless you in all. Do we believe that? Do we believe there is blessing found in giving? Have you experienced that? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Have you in your life experienced the blessing of giving? Of having a heart of generosity and you maybe lost a lot, but you gained a great blessing. It's true. It is true. I mean, it really puts into perspective why we're here, what we're living for, who we're living for, right? The Lord thy God shall bless you in all your works and in all that you put your hand unto. So, church, listen. I believe it's very important that we pay attention, that we heed the cry of the poor. And not because I just think it's a good idea. I believe that the scriptures emphasize that for us. And we have sought to define what the Bible means when it speaks of the poor. We have brought to light the reality that there is a self-made poor man. At the close of our service last time, we talked about how even though we are so quick to judge, we need to give people at least a chance, and we need to speak to their heart. We meet their initial needs, but take the opportunity to deal with their hearts with the spiritual truth of the gospel. Because let's face it, that's what will change life. That's what will give them new direction. There's great blessing in giving. Great blessing. Lord, I thank you for this time, and I thank you for the privilege of understanding studying your word, and Lord, just being able to have a question and then to dig deep and to examine and discover truth, truth that we can count on and trust. Thank you, God, for this precious truth. In Jesus' name, amen.